Good to see everybody. How many churches did y'all have here? I believe it was like 20, something like that. That's good. That's good. Praise the Lord. If you will, please turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter 3. It's good to see some of my friends here. Well, one really didn't have a choice to be here. She rode with me. And Emily, good to see you. And her young folks from her church. I'm looking for some volunteers. I need 4 volunteers. All right, the young man in the tan with the tie. The one going me. Yeah, him. The young man that preached. The young man that's got to go to the bathroom, the one 2 down from him. And let's get a girl up here, the young lady in the red vest, red shirt. And what I want you all to do is I want you to take these, all right, here, take these from me, and pass one out to each one of them. You notice I gave it to the girl because girls are smarter. Actually, I technically think the boys are smarter because you heard me in the back whenever the pastor asked who's smarter, boys or girls. I said girls. And I was very smart because I had an elbow that was about 6 inches from me. And if I had said boys, it would have been in my rib between like my second and third rib on the right side. So therefore, that makes us smarter if we say that the women are smarter and you sit next to your wife. Amen? All right. See, I'm not, Mama did not raise a dummy, all right? All right, now this is what I need you to do. Who's got the pee? You are crooked. You know, they didn't teach you lines, straight lines, did they yet, in the youth groups? All right. I need the P and the R to go over here on this side. All right. Stand on like the first step, all the way down that first step there. I need the P and then the R closest to the middle. So P, scoot over. Nope. The other side. Switch sides. There you go. All right. And then I need the N and the D. I get 5 people. Here, do you mind giving yours to her? That's such a good. Give him a hand. He did a wonderful job. You cannot expect a guy with no fingers to count. You can't do that. That's not fair. All right. And then likewise, I need the N and the D, just like you are on the first steps. Okay. Now, did y'all wear your deodorant? Did you wear your deodorant? Did you wear deodorant? I'm not gonna ask her because she might elbow me. Did you wear deodorant? I'm glad you all did because I didn't. Y'all think I'm kidding. You can ask my wife. Guy with no arms, don't he do it, right? Emily's going, I went to school with him, and I didn't know that. Oh, did you? She could tell. That's why you stayed away from me in college. Hey, man, how many people have ever heard me preach before? Oh, wow, praise the Lord. How many people have never heard me preach before? How many people wish they've never heard me preach before? No hands. Thank the Lord. All right. Life is very complex. It really is. And my pastor's pastor had said, and the longer I live, the more I believe it. You aren't even getting tired already, are you? All right. I need you to at least put them halfway up, at least halfway up. If you get tired, tag someone else in. They'll come up here, take your place. All right. Actually, put your arm. No, I'm just kidding. All right. My pastor's pastor said, you're going to have more bad days than good days. And the older, I'm not 32 yet. Please don't push it. All right. The 30th, I'll be 32. And man, my life's flashing before my eyes. Anyway, and you're going to have more bad days than good days. You're going to have days. This is youth rally. I love speaking to, not only youth, but just preaching in general. Because life is full of complexity. Life is full of decisions where we don't know what to do. You ever been in that position? You ever been in a position where it's like, wow, I just don't know what to do? And I'm going to preach a message to you this evening entitled, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. And these letters up here, has anybody figured them out yet? Okay, put your hand. Anybody else figure them out besides the pastor? You think you know what it is? All right, here in just a minute, I'm going to see if y'all know. Man, y'all are smart. The teens know exactly what it is. I know they do, all right? So we're going to pray. We're going to read our verses. Actually, let's read our verses first. In effect, if you know them, stand along with me. One, two, three, go. You are supposed to go and go, and I was going to follow you. All right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We ready? Let's go. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for what a wonderful turnout. We thank you most importantly for Jesus and how he came and he lived his life and he shed his blood and he died on the cross for the remission of our sins. So we can not be in enmity anymore with God and we can have a relationship and a fellowship with him. And God, we thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for a wonderful group of young men and women that are already seeking your will and seeking your face. And God, I pray that you would use me tonight for your honor and your glory. And God, as we're finished here tonight and they go back to their separate churches, I pray, Lord, that you would either start a fire that's never been started or rekindle a flame that might be flickering. And God, I pray that you would just use this time for your honor and your glory. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. All right, who's figured it out? What are the letters for? I'm not gonna ask the pastor because if he gets it, then you're all going to say, well, he's the one that has you here, so we're going to ask somebody else. What do you think it is? Park, reverse, neutral, and drive, okay? If we had to get it in that order. Or do you drive yet? Should you be driving? Are you mom? I'm sorry. Mom's going, yes, he drives, and no, he shouldn't be. I think I got behind you on the way in. Speaking about driving, there's a hole up here. It's your job to make sure I don't fall on that. Okay, and if I do, just grab me by the arms and pull me out. All right? Park, reverse, neutral, and drive. All right? Driving is a big thing. How many people already have their driver's license? All right? How many people are looking forward to it within, like, maybe the next year, 2 years? How soon? How soon are you getting your license? Anybody within, like, a couple months of getting, like, their permit or whatever? You're getting your permit? It's an exciting time. I've only actually been driving for 2.5 years. I've had my license for over a little bit over 3, and I've only been driving my van for about 2.5, little under 3 years. It's an exciting time. Where'd you people come from? Y'all hiding from me over there. They're like ninjas. They snuck up on me. I didn't even see them over there. No, I saw y'all over there. I'm just kidding. But driving is an exciting time. I remember that, basically when I was 16 years old, everybody else was out getting driver's license, and it was hard for me, to want to drive and not really have the ability to. And God opened that door just a few years ago for me to be able to drive, and I do praise the Lord for that. And driving gave me such a liberal freedom, just such a freedom to be able to do the things that I needed to do and I wanted to do. It's just the fact that if you want to go to the store, you want to go hang out with friends or whatever, you can do that. You want to stay extra a little longer at church and mom's tired and she wants to go, you can do that. You want to go to Dairy Queen after church, I love to eat, by the way, and you want to go to Dairy Queen after church, you can do that, those things, right? That's why you want your license, so you can go to Dairy Queen, right? And it's just an exciting, exciting, exciting time. So is salvation. Salvation's an exciting time, and what to do when you don't know what to do. I see when it comes to salvation and things of God, the service of God, I see you have 4 choices. This morning, every single one of us, how many people are born again children of God? Amen. I hope everybody is. And as the pastor said, if you're not, please don't wait till I finish preaching, because I may not finish preaching. The rapture might take place. You may go to we may go to heaven. You may be left here behind. Right? Pastor, if I get close to that hole, just stand up, wave, do something. Right? He's saying, please back up. Here, is this good? I'm too big. I can't fall in that hole. But, all right, I'm taking names of who laughed. That wasn't funny. Now I got to start all over. No, I'm just kidding. But salvation and the service of the Lord is an exciting time. But sometimes you just don't know what to do. I mean, in the Bible, people just didn't know what to do. I remember whenever was Abraham. He had called, God had called him, and he didn't know where he was going. What about Noah when he was building the ark? Rain? What's rain? What's an ark? I don't know what an ark is. These men, these people in the Bible, have these choices, 4 choices, same exact choices that you and I do in the service of God. They can either park, go in reverse, they can stay where they're at, or they can go forward. What are you going to do tonight? Are you going to be a park? You going to go backwards? Are you going to stay in neutral? Or are you going to drive? You have a choice. I love these verses, and all of my points this evening, all five of my points are coming from these two verses. Number one, we need to trust in the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to not set out and do what we want to do. All right? Let me tell you something, and I appreciate these pastors and these leaders having these meetings and allowing these young people to come up here and preach and sing. Now, I didn't see it tonight, and I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, and it may have happened if it did. I promise you I didn't see it. But honestly, in my youth group, I saw it. People making fun of the people up on the platform. And I have a philosophy. Unless you get up here and do what they're doing, you don't have a right to speak. You need to sit there and listen. Right? I'm going to be honest with you. You weren't the greatest preacher I've ever heard. But you were really good. Is it the first time you've ever preached? In front of a big group? I tell you one thing. You did a fantastic job for I remember my first time. Man, I was scared. And I didn't know what to say. I honestly didn't. I still don't know what to say. That's why I write notes down. I write them all in the back of my hand. And then I have this for a backup in case I forget that at home. Don't steal my jokes. They won't work for you. They're not going to be funny for you. They're funny for me, but they won't be funny for you. I'll back end you if you steal them. But we need to trust in God, not in our own power. I have a philosophy. If you're not up here singing or preaching or ministering, then you don't have a right to say anything. But yay, also, if God doesn't want you up here, then don't come up here. It's not God's will for every man in the world to be a preacher. I've seen a lot of people, you just kind of wonder. And you kind of hope and pray that they're doing what God wants them to do. Right? Preaching is a good thing. It's an awesome responsibility. But sometimes we just do what we want to do. Man, that looks good. And I was telling my wife on the way up here, I was the first one to call to preach in my church at the age of 18 years old. And within 1 year, seven other people got called to preach. Six of them aren't preaching. They weren't trusting in the Lord. They weren't trusting in the Lord. The Bible says that Job said in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. Psalms 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Hey, young people, listen up. Do not trust in your Christian school. You may have a good one, but don't trust in it. Don't trust in your pastor. You may have a wonderful pastor, and I thank God for the pastor that God has given my wife and I, but you know what? I don't trust in my pastor. He is just a man. I have made the mistake of putting my faith and trust in human beings before, and I've been let down. And every time we're going to be let down. Why? Because we're not perfect. We're human beings. Not one of us are perfect. Only He is perfect. That's why the Bible says trust in the Lord. Samuel 22:31 says, as for God, His way is what? Anybody know? Perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. 2 Samuel 22, verse 3, the God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield. Whenever the darts come at you, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for the adversary of the devil is in the roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible teaches us that He has darts that He throws at us. We need a shield. Not a one of us are strong. One of the most misquoted Bible verses in the entire Bible is resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's not what the Bible says. You say, well, that's word for word what the Bible says. That's right, that is, but that's only half of it. So if you hear these preachers that get up and say, man, by the we have the power to resist the devil, and he'll just go running away. No, he won't. What's the beginning part of that verse? And does anybody know? Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. What are you doing whenever you're resisting the devil? And what power can you resist the devil? Submitting yourself unto God. He is our shield whenever the darts of the devil. And let me tell you something. Hey, let me tell you something. You preachers up here, you singers up here, the devil is going to be like a lion, and he's going to seek to devour you. You're and especially you young ones up here, you're a piece of fresh meat, man. But if you have the shield, the Bible says that he is my rock in him I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. We were coming up the road, and I saw a road that looked like it was going straight up in the air. And I asked my wife, I said, that's kind of a funny-looking road. I'd hate to live up there. She says, I don't think anybody live up there. That's, what did you call that? A fire tower road. Does anybody know what that is? She made it up. She does that. She's good at that. But she said, it's a fire tower. I said, uh-huh. She said, a fire tower. Y'all getting tired yet? Y'all doing a good job? It's kind of small up here, though. So what is a, you know what a fire tower is? You ever heard of it? Yeah, exactly. Good job. It's a tower. What kind of tower? I know what it was. She says basically like a high point in the community where they can go up and get in a tower and look for fires. Sounds like a good job. I could do that. I could sit there and just look around all day long. I don't see any smoke. Oh, wait a minute. It's a barbecue. False alarm. I love barbecues. I love barbecues. My wife and I just got a grill. We're having a barbecue next weekend for my birthday. Hey, man, I can't wait to have some steaks and some hamburgers and all kinds of things on the grill. And I'm about ready to find out if beans really don't burn on the grill. That's really what I'm going to, if you all laugh, I know how old you are. There's about four people that laugh. You all know what that's from? The Jeffersons. Right? Fish don't fry in the kitchen. Beans don't burn on the grill. That's right. But he's our high tower. Towers are for a couple of different things. Number one, if you're up in the tower, not many people can get to you. Not many people can get to you. Not only that, the Bible teaching us that God, he being our high tower, means he can look out into our future and see where we ought to go. The Bible teaches us that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a what? A light into my path. I can remember that my wife used to work at International Baptist College in they have a Brooklyn Church and College, and they have a Stony Brook Church and College. And back several years ago, I preached in both of them. I preached 18 times in 4 days. Talking about being tired. That was exhausting. Preached 18 times in 4 days, and I was sick when I started preaching. But one of the things that I like to do is I like to go out on a nice, cool evening. It was mid-September, so it gets kind of cool. And I remember that on the Stony Brook, they have a lot of woods back there. And I was like, I think I'll be okay because the moon's out. It's a source of good light. But I went going down that path, man, and guess what happened? There was a lot of trees that had blocked the sun. It was pitch black. Do you know how dark it was out there? Guess how dark it was out there? So dark out there, I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. I still can't. But it was dark. It was very dark. And at the time, I had a cell phone, and I thought it was pretty cool because I took the cover, the original cover off of it, and I put a blue plastic cover on it. You see my van, I like blue. I've got blue lights inside my van. I love the color blue. I would have to, you know, if you dial like a specific number, I don't know if it's in your area, but it's in our area, if you dial that number, it'll give you the time, you know, that at the tone, the time will be whatever, beep. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you are looking at me like I'm stupid. I'm making it up. I get that from my wife. But I called that number, and I hung it from a keychain down on my wheelchair. Why? Because I couldn't see where I was going. Couldn't imagine if I was going down the thing, going down the pathway, and all of a sudden it wasn't a pathway, it was a ditch. I needed something for right in front of me. I needed something for far ahead, too, but you know what? If you don't have anything here, you can shine it out there, and it never works. You can look, shine it out there, but if there's a hole right in front of you, you're going to fall in it. That's why the Bible says it's a lamp unto my feet. Where you're standing right now is where you should be standing if it's God, where God wants you to be standing. This young man said one of the best things I think I've heard any preacher say, that if you're not doing what God wants you to do, then, hey, you're not where he wants you to be. And I have a saying that I've been saying for a long time, that if you're not doing what God wants you to do, you're not where God wants you to be, doing it when God wants you to do it, then you're not where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, doing it when God wants you to do it. It's a deep thought, isn't it? I'm just wondering. I'm wondering how many people weren't supposed to be here tonight. I wonder how many people that are like maybe 18 years old, maybe God just called them to Bible college. And they said, I'm going to stay home. Hey, it's good that you came to the youth rally. It's good that you came and participated in all the events, and maybe you were a youth leader. And hey, all those things are good, but if God wants you to be a missionary somewhere, God don't want you here. He's not happy with you being here. It's getting kind of quiet now. Right? I'm wondering if I said, how many young people, and please don't raise your hand, but how many young people called to preach? Think in your heart, are you called to preach? Has God already called you to preach? Have you accepted that call? If you have, why aren't you up here? Because the Bible says be instant in season and out of season. Man, I know at any given time, if somebody would call me and say, hey, I need you to come drive to my house in 5 minutes and preach a message to 10 people, I want to be able to know that I can do it. Why? Because one day I put my trust in him. He is my tower. He not only keeps me in safety, but yet he also shines that light out where I need to be going. We need to trust in the Lord. What's the next part of the verse? With all thine heart. I thought you was going, which one was it that went to Matthew? Was it you or somebody else? The other young man. That read that verse about thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Was it you? Right? Let's turn there. Matthew, I think you turned to Mark, right? You turn to Matthew? You turn to Mark. Let's turn to Matthew 22. Y'all getting tired yet? If y'all want to sit down, you can. You can rest your legs, just not your arms. Because I want them to be able to remember the four choices. What are your four choices? Park, reserve, neutral, and drive. I want you to turn to Matthew 22. We need to trust the Lord. Every single thing that we do, it needs to be trusting in him. Matthew 22, let's look at 37 and 38. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt what? Love the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart, with all thy soul, with all my mind, with all thy mind. This is the what? First and great commandment. So what are you supposed to do? What's God's will for your life? To love him. I want us to look at that this evening. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Now, unless you did what the pastor told you to do in the beginning of the service, turn your pacemaker off. I got kind of scared because I actually saw somebody like take a knife and try to cut their chest open. It was one of the guys back there in the corner. I'm not going to point who it was because he's bigger than I am. I don't know if he turned his pacemaker off or if he was grabbing for a mint or whatever, but he was reaching for something. Right? Unless you turn your pacemaker off, what's your heart doing? Put your hand on your chest if you don't know. What's it doing? It's beating. Right? How many people's hearts beating right now? Right? The Bible says, with all thy heart. So with every beat of your heart, you're supposed to love the Lord. Is that right? Is that what the Bible says? Trust in the Lord with, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all. You know what the word all means? All. That's it. None excluded. Every single beat of your heart. If your heart goes by and beats one time and you just love the Lord, then you're in direct disobedience to God. All right, let's go on. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with what? All thy soul. What's the word soul a picture of? The Bible teaches us in the book of Genesis that God had formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a what? Living soul. See, soul is a picture of breath. How many people that we have here this evening that has breath? I don't care if it's good breath, bad breath, sweet breath. I don't care what it is, as long as you got it. You have it? Every breath we take, the Bible says, we ought to love the Lord our God with every beat of our heart, with every breath we take. And what else does it say? With all thy mind. What's that thing between our ears? Please don't say nothing. Because I'd be greatly offended. Because I resemble that remark. What's that thing between our ears? Cobwebs, okay, and your brain? What does your brain do? Your brain has a mind. Thoughts? And what are your thoughts? If you think something, the Bible says basically you are that, and if you are something, then what are you? Go ahead, I think you know it. She just nudged your husband. Do you know what it is? Yeah, what? What do your thoughts consist of? Begins with a blee and ends with beliefs. Beliefs, right? Does our head not consist of a belief? Like, I believe that the blood of Christ washes away sin. I believe that if you take me out to eat at the church, I will eat. I believe that with all my heart. And I will. I believe that the Lord's coming back one day. I believe that His word is true. And every thought and every belief in my mind, I'm supposed to love the Lord thy God. That's a command. All right, we got one more quiz. One more quiz. First person that jumps up with the chapter and verse gets a $100 bill. I'll give it to you. What chapter and verse can it be found that says, thou shalt breathe? Chapter and verse, and nobody say second opinions. Pastor's thinking. Do 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 do. Time's up. Nobody knows where it's at? Because there's not one. Because there's not one. God does not command us to breathe. You ever thought about that? But He commands us to do other things. Why does He command us to love Him? Why does He command us to be holy? Why does He command us to trust in Him? And lean not to our own understanding. Why does He do these things? Because it's not natural. See, it's natural for us to breathe. We don't have to be told to do that. We don't have to be told to get hungry. The Bible does not say, thou shalt be hungry. You have to get hungry. And hey, for us Baptists, there's not a verse in there that says, that thou shalt eat. The Bible says, a man shall not live by bread alone. You know why God said that? Because He knew that we were going to be Baptists. You need to quit shoving Dairy Queen down your face so much, and you need to start getting some of this in here. Right? It's a command. Trust the Lord with all thy heart. What's the next part? Lean not to thine own understanding. There are so many things in our lives that we just don't understand. I'm going to tell you, you're going to sit down and you can plan out your life. You can write it all down. And in 1 year, you're going to go, whoa. Was I wrong? See, I trust in God. I really do, but sometimes I trust in man. It's just kind of humanistically. That's why God tells us to trust in Him. My van out there was $140,000. And I have an open challenge to anybody. If you can go out there in 5 minutes and start it and drive it, you can have it. Keep it. Don't think you can. And I knew that it was God's will for me to get it, and I had it all planned out. See, when I went to college, I didn't pay a dime of it. I didn't pay for one thing of it. Family, friends. Actually, when I went to school, now listen to this. When I got called to preach, shortly thereafter, I accepted to go to Bible college. I said, I'm going to dedicate my life to learn more about God and sharpen my skills and go to Bible college. That's what God called me to do. And I said, I need money. I know where I'm going to get it from. Wasn't God? No, wasn't God. Who's my Aunt Cindy and Uncle James? They have more money than they know what to do with. They take, I am not kidding you, you can ask my wife, at least 10 trips a year. And I'm talking 2-week trips. I'm talking about right now, they're halfway across the world. They live in Maryland, and right now they're halfway across the world. They won't come back until my wife and I are going to North Carolina on October the 4th. They're flying in as we're flying out, or we're both flying in together or something. I don't know what it is. But that's how long they're going to be gone for. And they'd always promise my mom and dad, if he ever wants to go to college, hey, don't worry about it. Every penny, it's paid for. It's paid for. I had it all planned out, Pastor. My own understanding. Called up my Aunt Cindy whenever I decided to go to the college I went to and said, hey, I'm going to college. Need some money. Money, money, money. So what college are you going to? Well, I'm going to Bible college. Can I have the money? Take check, Visa, MasterCard? Cash? She says, you going where? I'm going to Bible college. I'm going to be a preacher. We're not going to fund that. Wait a minute. I already had, wait, look right here. I had it all planned out. The money was coming from you. Right? You promised me for 19 years that you were putting me through college. These were my plans. This was how I was going to get it. And then a family friend we hadn't talked to in a long time called us up. I believe it was probably about the same day and said, hey, we'll let you know. We love you. Anything you need us for, let us know. Aren't you getting ready to go to college? Yes, I am. How are you going to pay for it? I don't know. I trusted in my own understanding. I was leaning in my own ways, my own understandings. But guess what? I just fell on my face. Maybe that's God calling me saying, hey, let me do it. Let me do it. Well, he passed away when I was in, right before I graduated. And in fact, I think actually it may have been right after. I think he was on his deathbed as I graduated, and I think he died about 2 weeks after. And he told his wife, he said, I'm going to give him $20,000. The man gave me $20,000. And he also told his wife, any schooling he wants, you pay for it. So I went on and got my master's, and I went on and earned my doctorate. Thank you, Brother Hooper. Appreciate that. He's in heaven. And you know why he was in heaven? And if somebody gets impacted today, it's all because of him. Well, not all because of him, but a lot of it's because of him. My van was $140,000. So you know what? His son is a senator. His other son gives me $5,000 love offering every year. I'm getting that money. No problem. Our senator, I went up to him. I said, get in the van. Have the fundraiser. Love to have you there. Oh, do you have a tax ID number? You all know what that is? That means if I give you money, I want it to go off my taxes. Wait a minute. Aren't you the same one that said anything I can do for you? Let me know. Weren't you my understanding? Some friends had some fundraisers for me, raised half the money that I needed. State of Maryland paid $93,000 for my vehicle, and some friends helped me raise the other part of that I needed, and I still owed, I thought, was $7,000. Didn't make a payment for an entire year, and if you don't make a payment on something for an entire year, it wasn't past due, but what happens? Huh? It gets bigger, right? What happens? Taxes, interest, right? That $7,000 went to almost $9,000 in 1 year. And in January of this year, I was $19,000 in debt. That's a lot of money. I'd been up for almost 24 hours. I had to preach about an hour from where I live that morning. I got off work, went home, took a shower, got changed, went off and preached, watched the Ravens play. I'm afraid to say that word here. Y'all don't like any other team but the Ravens, do you? We're all over at Baltimore Ravens fans, aren't we? You should be, because they're winning the Super Bowl this year. They look really good. Sorry to, you know, bust your bubble, but Baltimore looks really good this year. Anyway, didn't get time to sleep. I had to drive another 45 minutes to the next church I was preaching at. Got there, up 10, 12 people. You talk about not wanting to preach. There's going to be times when you're going to get up here and you're not going to want to do it. Right? Pastors are shaking their head. Yeah. Sometimes you're just saying, God, why am I doing this? I preached 15 minutes. It's a sin. It's a sin for a Baptist preacher to preach 15 minutes. And I basically didn't even give an invitation. I just said, Pastor, I'm turning it over to you. You know, I didn't know if they gave invitations or not. I didn't feel led to do it. I turned it over to him. And I said, Pastor, you know, I'm turning it over to you. And in my mind, you know what I'm saying? God, I'm done. The pastor jumped up, a little 80, I think he's like 85, 86, 87-year-old preacher from like the hills of Virginia, West Virginia. Stood up and said, we're not done yet. Now, by this time, I had been up over 30 hours, no sleep. Yes, we are done. I'm going home and going to bed. Oh, we're not done. God wants to do something. God? No, you don't. My understanding, right? He says, we need to do something. God wants us to do something. What does God want us to do? How much do you owe in your van? 12 people. Huh? How much do you owe your van? I think it's around 7,000. All right, let's pay it off. Let's make a motion. Let's pay it off. Maybe God wasn't done. And I just prayed about a week or so before, God, my van payment's going to be coming up due. I don't have the money. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't have any more understanding. See, when we get to that point where we just don't know, what do? Do I just give up? Do I rip up my book and say, hey, well, I don't have the money. You can't. Anybody ever watch Sanford and Son? My wife and I's favorite episode of Sanford and Son was whenever all the bills were coming in. My mom would come in and say, Pop, look at all these bills. You know what he'd say? Put them back in the mailbox. So my wife and I have a philosophy. I was in the hospital 2 days after we got married. Get the bill, put it back in the mailbox. Right, Merry Christmas, Miss Mail Lady. You can have this. Don't know you very well, but I'd like to. You'd be my new best friend. Here you go. Don't have very much money. But God paid that van off. You realize they wrote me a check for $8,000. I told him it was only $7,000. I called M&T Bank the next day and I said, I have some people that want to pay my van off. How much is it? It was almost $9,000. It was like $900 more than what they had written the check for. And they wanted me back to church the next week. My own understanding. I didn't have an understanding when how I was going to come up with another $900, but I knew I had like 3 more years to pay it off. All right, God, I can do that. Give me 3 years, I'll have $900 paid off. I'll do that. So at the end, after they gave me the check, I went up and I handed the paper to the treasurer. And I said, here's where you guys' money's going. Treasurer looked at it, and the treasurer said, this number doesn't match up with that number. I know. Got to take care of it. Oh, I know he will. Took the check and ripped it up and wrote me another one for that same exact money. $140,000 vehicle paid off. People looked at me like I was crazy when I told them I needed $140,000. Lean not to thine own understanding. I can't tell you how many times I've had a broken heart. Why? Because I've been looking for girls and looking for girls, looking for that perfect wife. when over 12 years ago, when I was actually engaged to another girl, a young lady walked in my church in a singing group, and the moment I laid eyes on her, even though I was engaged to another girl, I looked at her and said, that girl's my wife. I said that. And I don't condone this, but this is because I had just gotten saved. I hadn't been taught right, but my girlfriend used to hug and get close and get physical and all that stuff. And you know what? That day, my fiance was not allowed to do that. You know why? Because my wife was in the room, and I didn't think my wife would appreciate my fiance hugging all over me. Good philosophy. We should live that way. Pastor, I don't think your wife will like your fiance hugging all over you either. Broken hearts. Because I had gone away from that. We went to college, and I prayed about two colleges. Neither one of them was bad, both of them was good. In fact, I just preached there the second college that I didn't go to 6 months ago. And when God had opened up the door for me to go to Northeast, I said, wait a minute, that's where that Rachel girl goes. Can't remember her last name. Didn't matter because her last name was going to be Hudson one day. Got up there. I didn't even get out of the van, brother. I was looking for her. You know where I found her? Walking around the parking lot with another man. Didn't like that very much. That was heartbreaking. So in Bible college, amen, you're not allowed to go out on a date. Just two of you. You got to have at least a third person. Guess who their third person was? I had to keep an eye on my wife. Him and her got engaged. I kept going on their dates. I didn't want my wife hugging all over her fiance. Y'all want to hear something funnier? I got kind of bored on our dates, so I grabbed another girl. Well, I didn't grab her. In fact, I promised you I'd never lay a hand on her. Her and I were together for a while, and my wife and her fiance were together for a while. And the funny thing about it is the girl that I was with, we stopped. Her and her fiance had broken up, and the two had gotten married right after they graduated college. So we rushed things. We started talking about being together in March, got engaged in May, and got married in July. But you know what? It took 12 years. And you know why I knew it was perfect? Because I wasn't leaning into my own understanding. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 3:7, be not wise. Look down. If you're still in Proverbs 3, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know what we're trying to say here? You have a choice. You have four choices to make when it comes to serving God. You can either be a park. That's not very good. Because if you're idle, you know, the Bible says, do all that you can, what? To the glory of God. Everything that we do is supposed to be to His glory. Remember, every beat, every breath, and every belief that we have. That means we're not supposed to be idle. We're not supposed to be a park. Reverse. Reverse. When the disciples were out on the sea, they cried out for fear. They thought that they were that Jesus was a spirit there to harm them. They began to back away. Reverse. Going against what's going on. I think of Joseph. Man, his 11 brothers did everything but kill him. They lied about him. They hated him. They were jealous. But he just kept on going. He didn't back up. In fact, I'm going to skip over to drive real quick. If you're in drive, I think other people are going to back off of you. Other people are going to back away. Couldn't you imagine? Y'all know the account where Joseph was standing there in the tent and his 12, his 11 brethren were sitting there, and he took that veil off. I can imagine them doing everything that they could to get off that bench, to run out. Why? Because, hey, this is Joseph. We were really bad to him. Now he's second in charge. We're dead meat. But Joseph said, it's not you that sold me into slavery. It was God. I like what Joseph said when he was in the house of Potiphar, and his wife came up to him, Potiphar's wife came up to Joseph and said, hey, big boy. That's in the Hebrew. You learn that in Bible college. What she said, hey, man. Well, me and you, well, you know, I hope you don't know. What did Joseph say? How can I do this great and wicked sin against your husband? Ooh. How can I do this great wicked sin against my parents? What did he say? How can I do this great and wicked sin against God? He didn't go and park. He didn't go backwards and go to, away from the things that God wanted him to do. In fact, what happened when everyone turned back and looked? Turned into a pillar of salt. Neutral. That's just kind of whichever way the wind's blowing the most. Why do you think eight young men in a church back between 1995 and 1997, eight young men got in front of the church and said, I'm called to preach? And one out of those eight men right now are still preaching. I can't say they were never called. I can't look in their hearts. But if they were, they were one of these three. One of these three. They're either in park, they went away, or they were kind of in neutral. And the neutral, I want you to realize how far away from that is drive. It's kind of close. It's kind of close. Youth leaders, I'm preaching to you right now. You got some young people in your youth group. They're right here where this young lady is. They're right here. I'm not picking on you, man, but you know what? You might be right here. You might be in drive. I hope you are, but you might be right here. You go to public school. There's nothing wrong with that. Guess where I went? Public school. Don't let that hold you back. You've got a greater responsibility and a greater obligation. You go to Christian school, most of those kids are saved. They don't act like it, but I believe most of them are. Man, stick with it. And it's the leader's responsibility to be spiritual enough to say, hey, my young people are neutral. If I don't keep pushing them the right way, then they're not going to go the way of the Lord. They're going to go in the reverse. They're going to go in the park. They're not going to be doing what God wants them to do. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. I love Joseph. He said, it wasn't you that sold me to slavery. It wasn't me that made all this food. Remember that? There was a big famine in the land. What did he keep saying? It was God. It was God. Next time you get up here, you know what it's going to be? Because of God. Young lady, next time you get up here sing, you know what it ought to be? Because of God. Pastor, youth pastor, next time you get in front of your people, you know what it ought to be? God. See, I don't just preach to the teens. I don't preach to everybody that can hear me tonight. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Proverbs 16:13, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. Proverbs 23:17, let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Bible says, redeeming the time for the days are evil. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do to what? The glory of your church and of your youth group. And y'all got up here and did a good job, but it's because your youth group. Because of God. And lastly, How do I know that I'm not going to fall in one of these other three? Last part of Proverbs 3. And he shall direct thy paths. No matter what obstacles you think are standing in the way, God, I don't have the money. I was $19,000 in debt in January. God paid off my van. God paid off my debt. Paid my last credit card bill at the beginning of May. So I'm out of debt, but it was a good time to get engaged. I brought my wife. I went up to Brooklyn, New York to go get my wife. Had called her parents, got their permission. You know what happened the week before? That Tuesday, I was getting ready to go up there. Guess what happened? I lost my job. Wednesday night in prayer service, raised my foot. My pastor always looks for my foot. Can't raise it very high. I could do one of these, but you couldn't see it very well. And I said, pray for me. I lost my job. It's a big thing. And I was going to bring Rachel down here this weekend. Still going to get her. Was going to propose to her, but I'm not going to now. I'm not going to do it. My pastor looked out from the pulpit and said, you can trust in God or your job. He can trust in God or yourself. He said, man, if we waited till we had jobs and money, none of us would be married. This guy's a third row. He got that right, man. You know what I did? I went out and got an engagement ring. I said, God, I'm trusting you. I'd been looking at a house for almost a year. $50,000 is what that house was supposed to cost. It was a double wide mobile home. I had already talked to Rachel about it. We knew we were getting engaged. In fact, I kind of threw her off. I knew I was getting the ring for her. And I said, you know what? I was going to propose to you this weekend because I kind of thought she suspected it. So I said, I was going to propose to you Sunday this weekend. And I lost my job. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. My best friend already had the ring. I knew exactly how I was going to propose to her. I wrote a message in a bulletin, gave it to an usher, wrote another message to my pastor, and had him read it. You thought of that, didn't you? My pastor read the message. There's a special message in a bulletin tonight for a special person. Open up your bulletin and read your message. And I couldn't actually write it in hers because she already had her bulletin. And I couldn't write it in a bulletin and hand it to her because I didn't want her to open it. She had to open it at the right time. So I had an usher go up and hand her the bulletin. And I went up directly behind him. It was right behind him. She didn't see me there. And I said, Pastor, I know who has it. Rachel does. And I said, Rachel, will you marry me? Why? Because I was trusting in God. We went home that night. $50,000 house is what we looked at. We had looked online the last 2 weeks for another house. It was $49,300. It was $43.99. Went home that night, looked at it, it was $39.99. We met with the realtor the next Saturday, put in a bid for $36,000. We got our brand new house for $36,000. I had 2 months to get $36,000. People thought we were stupid. They did. It's too quick. Can't get that money. Neither one of you have a job. She was moving from Brooklyn, losing her job. I lost mine. Banks aren't going to give credit, $36,000, to two people that don't have a job. Her and I kept going. Whenever she would come down, we'd go over there and pray. We would cry. She would go home, and every night I would go over there and pray. Every morning I would go over there and pray. I said, God, this is your will. I got to the point in my life, I said, you know what? I don't have an understanding. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you know what? It's your understanding. Do you realize by the day that we needed it, we had 36,000. Actually, we had 37. We needed 36,000 and some couple hundred dollars for some fees. We needed a ramp. A friend of ours has built a ramp on their house for almost $6,000. Ours was 500, and ours is bigger than their ramp. it was funny because her and I would pray, and we didn't know where the money was going to come from. God would give us a bed. God gave us a brand new bed, box spring, and mattress. And I didn't have a house to put it in. Do you realize that a bed is not really a necessity? Do you realize that her and I had planned on maybe even just sleeping on the floor if we had to? And then we kind of thought, well, do we set the bed up out in a yard? And whose yard do we set it up in? Do we go and sneak into a yard in the middle of the night and just kind of pick up the bed and move it whenever they kick us out of their yard? We didn't have a house. We had furniture that we had to pay that I promised him I'll pay you $550 for. Actually, first time we talked to the guy, yeah, I'll give you any furniture, piece of furniture in my house is yours. Any bit of it. He was moving, had to get rid of it, moving into a smaller apartment. And then I talked to him the next time, he says, I need $550 for that. You know, whenever you're trying to get money, you don't know where that money's coming from. I had a friend say, you know what? Do you need some furniture? Yeah, we need anything you can give us. Do you need a kitchen table? Man, I wish you'd have asked me that a week ago because I just promised him $550 to a guy for a kitchen table, a love seat, and two dressers. He said, $500 for that? I said, brother, I mean, he said, man, that's too much. He says, I don't have the other stuff. I got a kitchen table. You can have it. Get your money back. Got our money back. I said, you know what? Where are we going to get the other stuff? Some people in our church that we're actually related to, the dad passed away. The daughter called and said, hey, y'all need a love seat and a sofa? Oh, yeah, by the way, I've got two old dressers here. Don't know if you can use them. I'm like, oh, I'm a picky person. My wife's back there going, yes, he is. Everything has got to match. And I'm thinking, I don't want these dressers because it's not going to match our bed. And I already had a ceiling fan in mind. I'm a big ceiling fan person. It's not going to match the color. Two dressers. Looks like it's a whole bedroom set. You know why? It's the determinant of my life. I was going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways, I was going to acknowledge Him. I'm going to let God direct my path. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be in park. I don't want to go in reverse. I don't want to be you guys. No offense. You're good looking guys. Well, not that good looking. You're good guys. But I don't want to be you. I don't want to be in park. I don't want to be in reverse. Young lady, I don't want to be you. Because there's been times in my life, even after I've been called to preach. Hello, pastors. This isn't just for the young people. We can be in park. We can be in reverse. We can be in neutral. Hey, if we don't get what we want. You know what I told God? God had given us all these things. Furniture. But not a house. You're giving us our wants. You're not giving us our needs. And I stood firm. I said, I want to be in drive. I want to be in one of these. And I remember going down the road with tears coming out of my eyes. I said, God, you promised me. Now, listen to me. Don't get angry the way I prayed and talked to God. I have a right. The Bible says we can come to the throne of grace with boldness. I do. I take that. Pastor sitting right there in the gray and the white and the tie. You know how I'm talking to you. I had tears coming down my eyes driving down the road. I said, God, you promised me you were going to supply my needs. If you don't, you're a liar. Right? Can we say that? Yeah, we can. Why? Because the Bible says that God's not a man that he should lie. I wasn't reminding God that he wasn't a liar. I was reminding me that my God is not a liar. So that prayer is not more of, hey, God, remember? No, it's more like, hey, preacher, remember? Don't be a park. Don't be a reverse. Don't be a neutral. Stay strong. Stay in drive. Keep going. Those of you that get up and preach, hey, good job. Keep going if that's what God wants you to do. Shame on you for those, and I know that there are. I know that there's probably at least one young man that should have gotten up here tonight and preached, should have preached, and you didn't. Let God do business in your heart tonight. What to do when you don't know what to do? What do? You just stay and drive. You just keep on going. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, nobody looking around. Is Justin still here? I'm going to have him and my wife come before you all start. We all need to realize this might be your first time you've ever heard a message. That God loves you. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. Because of your sins, you don't deserve heaven. You can't earn your way. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Is there by chance someone here tonight that would say, "Preacher, pray for me. I've never been saved. I had been in the youth group for like 4 or 5 years. And finally I got saved. I was preaching a message in, I believe, Carpenter, Pennsylvania, or New York, or wherever. I don't know, I've been so many churches, can't remember. And there was a Bible college group. And I had to preach two messages that morning, and the college group had to get up and sing twice. And the second time they got up to sing and introduce themselves, I was bored out of my mind. This young man says, "My name is so-and-so." I'm like, "Yeah, I know what your name is. You already said it." And he says, "Brother Johnny, don't know this, but during the morning service, I got saved." I don't care how long you've been in the youth group. Have you been saved? I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care if you're the pastor's daughter or son or granddaughter or grandson. If you say, "I need to trust Christ as my Savior, preacher, pray for me." Is there anybody like that at all? Pray for me. I don't see any hands. Is there anybody like that at all? Preacher, pray for me.